Welcome to the Baseball Show. I am Jake with Bobby O'Neill, Ian Jenkins. Just the three of us today. Going to chop it up a little bit. Right out the gates, man, I would like to talk about Devers. He's supposed to make his first spring training start today and said, not today, not feeling good. I guess he's got like both shoulders sore. I don't know, but strange spot for him. Obviously, says I'm not playing third. I'm not playing anything but third base. I'm not going to DH. Mm-hmm. I'm not moving to first. He just signed a dude that's a two-time World Series winner, won a Gold Glove last year, and is in for 120 mil. Interesting way to go. What's your guys' thoughts on something like that?
Yeah, well, my initial thought was I ain't freaking leaving. That was my first thought. Just right out of the gate, like Wolf of Wall Street at him, and then he is leaving because his freaking shoulders hurt. So you got to be able to back that up, bud.
Yeah, dude. Like, all right, as a baseball player, you have to have like this uncanny confidence and just complete certainty in your ability, right? And that's like part of the frame you have to assume if you want to be a successful baseball player, right? But there comes a fine line where you just got to know when to draw it, right? And take Judge for example. Dude is extremely confident but selfless. He'll do anything for his team. Whatever they need him to do, he'll do it. He'll go out there and hit upside down if he has to, if his team thinks that's in his best interest, right? But then you got a guy like Devers who...
He's the worst fielder in the league.
Yeah. Dude, you got to back that up, bro. Like, not even back it up. You just have to have the frame. Like, you need to be delusional in your head, but, like, reasonable in reality. And that dude is not that at all. If I'm management and I hear him say, I play third base, especially after making a sign like that, I'm thinking, like, okay, this is bullshit. Who does this guy think he is? We're going to show him who actually makes the decisions here. I respect Devers 100%. He's a great player, but really bad moment for him. Really bad moment.
I think it's terrible and annoying. I think it's really annoying because it's like the Red Sox are in a bad spot. If you just chalk up the last few years, they are either finishing last in the division, they're not making playoffs, and they're the Red Sox. The Red Sox, the Yankees, the Dodgers, teams like that they're not allowed to go on streaks like that. And it's like, you're the guy, you've been the guy there, and now you're bringing in a guy that's going to help, and you're saying, I don't give a shit, I'm staying where I'm at. Like, look at that. I did my little research on this guy today. 2017 to today. So he debuted in 17. Led the AL seven straight seasons in errors. Led all of MLB for four of those 7 years. He's got a .944 fielding percentage. And I don't give a shit about all these stupid stats, but I put him in there because I know some people do. Defensive war, -3.6. Defensive runs saved, -62. That's the worst since entering the league in 2017 to now. And his OAA, outs above average, worst since they started tracking the fucking thing. Like, dude, you're coming in here into a season like this, yeah, you hit the shit out of the ball. That sounds like a first base DH guy to me. And you got Bregman coming off a 2024 Gold Glove last year at third base, obviously. First in games played, first in fielding percentage, first in assists, first in chances, and first in putouts at third base. So he won a Gold Glove by also having the most opportunities to make errors and screw things up, and he didn't. And it's like, fucking Alex Rodriguez went to the Yankees and moved to third base. He signed for 250 mil to the Yankees and said, I want to fucking win a championship. That's why I came here. That's why I'm here. So I have such an issue with guys like this, and not even like I'm with them. I'm like, hey, yeah, go compete with Bregman and say, yeah, I'm going to be the guy. I'm excited about the healthy competition with Bregman if he comes in, and we'll see where we end up, whatever's best for the team. But we're both going to work our ass off to be a third baseman. Mm-hmm. And whatever happens, happens. But it's like such a bad, it sets such a bad standard now. Like, if I'm on his team, I'm like, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah. I think the number one thing that you said there, Jake, is kind of the highlight of this whole issue is like, do you want to win a ball game? And if you do want to win a ball game, you can't be a cancer on a team. Ego breaks down every single clubhouse. You have to be willing to pull a Mookie Betts or an Aaron Judge and just do what's best for the ball club. And if doing what's best for the ball club is being a competitor for a guy like Bregman to level him up, or trying to beat Bregman out, but at the end of the day, you're just going to do what the skipper says. Like, that's what it comes down to, man. You got to be willing to make adjustments. And if you can't make adjustments, there's the door. Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the dude signed for. You're gonna bite your tongue.
I might talk about saying this, but that's not championship culture, man. Not at all. That's a cancer, just like Bobby said. That's not what winning teams do. Winning teams don't have guys like that on their squad.
No, they don't. The bottom line to me is like you clearly don't care about winning. You signed for 11 years, 330 mil. You got your bag. You got your money. What's left to win? Just to win. Now you got 300 mil. That's not enough for your ego. You got to go now. My ego says I'm staying at third base. I'm not DHing. You know what they should do is trade his fucking ass to Houston for Altuve and put Altuve at second with Bregman. That'd be so sick. Throw him over there. I honestly think like you might be better off. Devers is very good. I respect him as a baseball player, but it crushes a team. Having a guy or two that isn't bought in. And this is your guy. Your guy doesn't sound like he's bought in. That makes it tough gig for a team. Like, look at it's no different. And I think Boston will make the right choice. They're going to put Bregman at third. I read stories. He went on a 90-minute road bus ride the other day to play in the game he wasn't supposed to go in. And they're like, veterans never go on the road in spring training. This is a 90-minute bus ride. They got three of their top prospects playing in the game. And he said he begged to be in the lineup with them. He's like, I want to be on the field with these guys. I want to get to know them. Like, we're going to be probably playing together this year. Like, they said that the culture he's brought in 2-3 weeks since he's been there has been like he's just the guy, and it's Devers has been not playing, not really too involved. Wouldn't be surprised that not to overreact, this could be nothing in the long run. He can move to a different position and be just fine, but this is like the start of like the mid-season, like holy shit, Devers got traded. Like, that's how this stuff starts. I think it like snowballs into that. He's unhappy and this and that, and now he's constantly injured. Who knows? But that's a tough one for me. And hopefully Boston learns from the Yankees last year, because they had freaking, what's his name, Torres over there at second base, worst second baseman in the league. You bring Jazz over, who's a good second baseman. You put him at third where he doesn't play. And the Yankees look like garbage in the World Series. Like, you're the Yankees, dude. You are the Yankees. Why? At what point did the evil empire do anything to win? When did they become, Torres doesn't want to move from second, so let's just leave him there and lose the World Series because it's certainly a contributing factor. We could have had probably a better setup on our defense, but we didn't because he just said, I don't want to move. Like, we're fucking paying you. You'll go wherever we tell you to go. How about that? We're here to win a world championship. Yankees, I think, have just gotten soft, dude. I really think they have. The beard thing pisses me off. Keep the no beards. Keep the no beards. That's Yankee tradition. You're moving further and further away from what the Yankees are, and I don't like it.
Dude, Stroman was going to pull one off too until Hill got hurt, man. Like, he was like, oh, I'm not moving to the bullpen, but... then he'll goes down until like what, May? I think he's down for 6 weeks, and then he has to do a whole rehab stint. So he's going to end up getting his start anyways. But I would have liked to see Stroman out of the pen. I feel like he'd perform a little bit better.
Yeah, not according to him. Not according to him.
Follow his Instagram. That dude's constantly posting about his yacht, bro. Yacht and tattoos.
That's wild. The same thing though, like. What, you're just going to tell us what you're going to do? I don't get it. I just don't. At what point did these guys forget how what it felt like to make it to the bigs? Where along the lines did you forget that? Like, what if it was your debut and they said, Stroman, you're going to be out of the pen tomorrow on your debut? You'd be like, fuck yeah, dude, let's go. Like, tough to lose that along the way, I think. I mean, you get so big in your own head that you get to tell the Yankees what you are and are not going to do. That's insane. That to me is insane. And that the Yankees allow it, that any team allows it, is crazy. I don't know. But I call him Gil because that's what it looks like. Luis Gil. Arm injury? What's he? A lat, huh?
Yep. Yeah. Lats are a pain in the butt, bro. I think it stemmed from like shoulder tightness, and then then it turned out to be a lat. Those things kind of linger, man. I've had a couple guys go down with those in the past, and if you pitch through it, it just gets way worse. So the fact that they're shutting him down is right. Pisses me off because he's on my top five list, but I think he's gonna have a great second half.
Yeah. Speaking of that top five list. Yeah, speaking of that top five list, boys, Luis Gil being out just means my list gets pushed up, brother. Just wait.
moves you from terrible to a very, very distant second. So You're not touching my rotation. I'm sorry.
No, bro. Don't count him out yet, bro.
I counted him out when he named the first two guys. I didn't even have to hear the other three.
He's done. No, I'm still counting Ian out for sure. 100% counting Ian out. I'm talking about Heel.
Oh, I had 1 foot out on you anyways. Now with Heel being gone, yeah, it's fucking done.
Framber Valdez.
I do like Valdez.
He's going to run the league. Watch, boys. Just watch.
Nasty Tuesday.
I do like him. I don't think he's going to run the league, but I do like him. Did you see Altuve's first play in left field? Like, I think he got a chance to make a play. I don't know if it was earlier today or yesterday. It's like a flare over the shortstop's head, and there's a guy rounding third trying to score, and Altuve picked it up literally like 10 feet behind the infield dirt and just threw it like 15 feet offline. I was like, damn, good luck. Then he made a nice play against the fence out and left, but that'll be fun to see him out there.
Listen, the yips are real, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a real thing. When I was like 15 years old at a freaking overpriced perfect game showcase, I was at catcher, literally couldn't throw the ball back to the pitcher, couldn't feel the ball in my hand. I said, fuck it. I'm just going to man up and just sting it right back to his chest. I tried to do that. Ball went to first base. Okay. After that, done catching. Done.
Went to first base?
First base, dude.
Oh my God.
First time I ever saw Ian throw a ball, literally no warmups, hopped off a bus and just like absolutely sent it over the right field fence. Absolute cannon. Now I'm convinced that you were trying to throw it to third base.
Yeah, maybe, but. Whatever happened, I owned up to it, and we made the best of it. That's what I was trying to do.
Yep. What do you get? Where are you aiming? You just throw it. I'll tell you after I throw it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right after I throw this ball.
Yeah.
You want to play I think catch? It's wild. Can we touch on pitcher injuries? Because, Bobby, why don't you give me, speaking of Heel, and just injuries in general, a quick take, and then I'm going to give you my thoughts. But I want to hear from you because you're a pitching guy on this first.
Yeah, so injuries in general. I actually was listening to something, I believe it was Pedro Martinez. He was talking about one of the reasons why there's a ton of susceptibility to elbow injuries now is because mechanics are analytics driven these days. And it's kind of a controversial take because he's saying that pitchers don't gather over the rubber as much as they used to. In his delivery, he used to really emphasize his balance point and driving down the mound after gathering over the rubber versus a guy like DeGrom who drifts into his stride. So he's saying that that's an analytics-based movement pattern that isn't solely focused on mechanics. So I was kind of agreeing with him and not agreeing with him at the same time. I feel like Jacob DeGrom and Pedro Martinez are two separate individuals who have different body types that move differently. And a guy like DeGrom is more mobile and has a lot more elasticity in his body versus a more compact guy like Pedro who needs to kind of gather and drive. I believe, Jenk, you had a phrase for it, like terrestrial versus those two motor patterns?
Aerial versus terrestrial. Terrestrial guys who need to be like more grounded. They're going to be typically like wider. They need more hip shoulder separation, dependent upon a few more factors in the test. But typically that's what it is. And then aerial guys, for instance, who's the old dude who's dating Kate Upton, man? Justin Verlander, mm-hmm. That guy, he's an aerial. Not a ton of separation, kind of bouncy, things like that, like those. And actually, this actually goes into why they think Otani's hurt, because they think he's moving in the wrong kind of pattern. So this is just not DeGrom, Heel, or those guys. Although they're throwing very hard and from an analytical standpoint, like, yeah, it's spot on, because these movements aren't agreeing with the way their motor preferences are, how their body naturally wants to move. They think they're more susceptible to injury.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of where my mind's at. It's like, there's not one size fits all model. Not everyone moves the exact same. There's not a skeletal structure that you can just plug and play to everyone. I err on the side of more using the analytics to assess motor patterns and body types and then break down the deliveries accordingly. So mm-hmm. I think there's value in the way Jacob DeGrom moves. So there's also value in the way Pedro Martinez moves. And I think we can learn from history, and some guys need to revert back to a more traditional motor pattern, and other guys need to evolve to create those high octane velos and stuff like that. But I think to what you're going to be talking about, Jake, is it starts at 10 years old. If all you're trying to do is throw hard and you're not taking into account what the body is capable of doing and whether or not you should be trying to throw hard at a young age and whether or not you should be trying to max out with plyos early on in your life, I think that's a completely separate topic. What do you got?
I think it is the top. I think I hate the answer you guys both just gave. One, I don't understand any of the words that you said. But two, it's such a deep dive into something that doesn't need to be deep dove into. It's how many fucking guys threw 95 back in 2000? How many of those guys that threw that hard were hurt? Randy Johnson never had an arm injury. Dude's throwing 100 miles an hour, he's big, he's whippy. They didn't work the way that these kids work today. The guys work today, the big leaguers work today. And it's certainly a catch-22. There's nothing you can do about it. The same guys, the same programs, the drive lines, the treads, everybody that's big and doing this and creating big leaguers, to their credit, are the same exact guys that are creating the injuries. It you cannot get there without the injury. I'm convinced. And if you do, good for you. Amazing. You will be the 001%. It's not a natural motion to throw the ball overhand in the very first place. Now, guys used to learn to pitch. I would love to see Greg Maddux's off-season routine compared to fucking Joe Musgrove's. What was he doing? Nothing. He was very good. One of the best of all time. I guarantee he wasn't working 20% as hard on his body and his arm and whatever else he's doing as the big leaguers are today. And one, because they didn't have the resources. Two, they didn't need to. What else are you going to do when you're going out there with a 2 ERA for 15 years? You don't need to do anything else. But I look at, the pitch clock was an issue for a while. Guys aren't getting enough rest in between pitches. We got to grip the ball different now. It's slippery. It's the kids. Look how many young guys are getting Tommy John. High schoolers, college guys, these dudes that you see in the big leagues that get it, they're all 22, 23, because for the past 6, 7, 8 years, they've been trying to throw harder because it's the only way to get there. I coached high school baseball. If I had a freshman stroll in throwing gas, I'm like, oh, sit, nice. Immediate. That's just baseball. It's harder to hit somebody that throws hard. That's the bottom line. And when you're talking about wanting to get to the next level, it's really starts at like high school. Like you have to be, if you want to pitch in high school, you got to be pretty damn good now. You got to throw the ball hard. If you want to pitch in college, D1, like everybody wants to go, you have to throw probably very hard. And if you want to get drafted as a pitcher and you're not throwing 90, have a good day. See you later. Go get a job. So, I literally will give credit to all these people that are creating big leaguers through their velo programs and their pitching programs and everything they do and the analytics. But I think they have to wear the exact same amount of the injuries. I think they're responsible for both. And I don't think there's any way around it.
Yeah. I think there's another factor in there. And I think injuries in general are up. Like big time players are getting hurt like more often. Just because these athletes are functioning at a way higher level and having to do that over 162, right? I think that the specialization super early is not helping guys. And I think I'm a testament to this. When I stopped, I was a three-sport athlete in high school. When I stopped playing football, when I stopped wrestling, and I stopped learning different ways of athleticism, having different movement patterns and things like that, the injury spiked up. From that point, had 5 knee operations and a Tommy John. You know what I mean? So I think that these guys specializing so early is not really doing them a justice for like their long-term outlook as a baseball player in any sport. I just think you need to be doing a bunch of different things, competing in a bunch of different kinds of ways.
That's actually backed by Dr. James Andrews. He has a very similar opinion on that. One of the leading like researchers and surgeons for youth TJs. And that's such a like fueled thing through travel ball and through showcases, man. Like all these guys are not to name any of them specifically, but there's so many organizations that are just blasting out like, oh, here's a ring I won in my 13U travel ball team. Here's what my perfect game score is. And as a 12-year-old, it's like some of those things don't even matter. Like even at a Division II level, like we don't even recruit guys until they're in their their senior year because it's just too early. Like we don't have enough information on them. And at the D1 level, they get a little bit more of the elite picks and they get some of those juniors picked up early. But for the most part, like your junior senior year of high school is really where it starts mattering. Everything leading up to that is really just the building block and getting reps and experience, not exposure. And I feel like so many athletes are just going for the exposure way too young. And that's where this susceptibility to specialization comes in. These guys just are forced to do it because they're afraid that they're going to like not keep up with the Joneses. So yeah, it's a really big issue. And I think Verlander touched on that as well. It's like, it starts at the grassroots. If we're not trickling down all the way to the youth level, all the way to Little League and making a difference, then it's never going to make its way back up to the big leagues to solve the root cause of the issue.
Yeah. I don't think the injuries to position guys, the knees, I don't think any of that's any different than velocity. Bigger, faster, stronger. You're trying to tell me your knees are going to be the same 20,000 squats later after 10 years? They're not. They're going to be worse. Your whole body is going to get stronger, but it's going to be more susceptible to getting injuries because you're taxing it. Everything you do is tax. You're taxing your arm. That's what you pitchers go. You only have so many bullets, and every one you throw is another one out of the chamber. And it's like, it never ends. Eventually it's going to be the one. It's like same thing with your body. Like it's wear and tear. The more you build it, which you have to build it in order to compete, you have to. I saw George Kirby friggin' a couple weeks ago. I'm like, that dude doesn't look like he really touches any weights. And he's one of the top five pitchers in the league. And he's nasty. He's nasty. And I don't know his injury history or whatever he's got, but that guy, if I had to pick somebody for longevity, it'd be a guy that looks like him. Mm-hmm. It just would. So I think what you have to do to play at a high level is it naturally will likely come with injuries. Position player, pitcher, I don't really care. I mean, some kids starting doing med ball squats at 9 years old and he gets to high school and he's been working out for 5-6 years. You're like, what are you going to do? You get to college and you're like, yeah, I've been working out for 10 years. You're like, well, okay. Well,
yeah.
Your body is strong. Yes. But some shit's going to happen. It's just going to happen. Yeah. So I mean, look at you, Jake. You're a good example. You're as strong as it gets. You're as strong as it gets. A lot of injuries. And I'm sure, I know you have like hypermobility, but I'm sure at some point the working out, the lifting, I did the same thing. I was never had an injury, got to college, started working out, and just things started happening. Shit started hurting, you know, tendonitis or, oh, my friggin' knee, whatever it was. It's like my back. So I just think it all comes hand in hand. If you want to compete at the highest level, you are signing up to tax your body accordingly. And that's just going to happen.
So I have one caveat to everything that's being said right now, because I know that some of the people who watch this are probably some of the athletes that I work with. And so I'm going to say something. This is not an excuse for all you lazy butts out there who just are looking for an excuse not to do anything. There's two ends of a spectrum. There's working too hard. There's not working hard enough. We're talking about moving the needle more towards the middle of working smarter, not harder. So for you guys who are just looking for an excuse not to have to do anything, you guys are going to get hurt too. If you're on either end of the spectrum, you're probably going to hurt yourself. So I just had to throw that in there.
Yeah, either lift, get strong, get injured at a high level, or don't lift, don't do anything, and get out of baseball at a low level.
Yeah.
You got to do it. We're telling you, you have to do it. You just got to know you're signing up for, you know, it is what it is. If you don't do it, good luck. And George Kirby, I'm sure he has a routine that works really well for him, and he busts his ass. Yeah. But he looks limber. He looks loose. He looks naturally just, I'm good to go. So, kids, put the work in, because if you don't, you won't even have to worry about an injury.
I got one more thing to say about that. Actually, before I start on that, Jake made up a new exercise. Everybody, we now have something called med ball squats. I will be implementing that into my program ASAP.
Right now. Give him the med ball. I picture like an 8-year-old that can't hold weights yet. Just get this little 5-pound med ball, do some squats.
Yeah. And if you're going to be performing at a high level, you need a high level of recovery too. That's going to give you your best bet. It's almost impossible to avoid the injury, but you also need to do everything in your power to make sure your body's recovering, make sure you're sleeping enough, make sure you're eating enough, which a lot of guys don't do. They train super hard and don't take care of the engine. They don't put good fuel in there. They stay up playing Fortnite and shit like that. You know, like that's not going to help you at the end of the day. And the thing that's driving the ship are the analytics, and the analytics pushing everybody's having these high exit velocities and throwing velocities, things like that. Understand that technology, any of the information that we acquire today with any of the technology, it just offers us a different perspective on things that we already knew to be true. When Barry Bonds hit a baseball in the fourth deck, we knew that it was a hard hit. We didn't even know that it was 100 miles per hour. You know what I mean? When the Rocket is throwing fastballs up there that nobody can see, they look like sunflower seeds up there. You know, this guy's one of the hardest throwers in the league. The number just quantifies what we already know to be true. So look at it like with that lens. Don't dive into them so deep. Yes, they're important, but understand like all of this stuff was determined off the eye test. You have an IDAR as well.
Very true. Very true. It all leads to the same road, which is money. Make the money. That's what you're trying to get to, the money. And we just saw somebody say De La Cruz. Oh, Ellie might be the first $1 billion contract, which is ludicrous to me. You think anybody's going to sign a $1 billion contract in the next 5 years?
Bro, having someone sign $700 million like 3 years ago didn't make any sense to me. So I have no idea, bro. The freaking Bitcoin was $100,000 like 3 months ago. Just the value of the dollar is just crazy, in my opinion. But yeah, value-wise, when you think of a guy like Ohtani and how he brings an entire nation with him, that to me makes a lot more sense when it comes to like what his worth is. I feel like he's going to sell more tickets than anyone ever has to pay him, so pay the guy all he wants. But for all these other guys, Soto, Ellie, and whoever else is to come, you just got to show me where the value is. It's at the end of the day, it's a business decision, and if the guy's up in the press box or in the front office are saying that it's quantifiable, I would just love to see the data to support it.
Yeah. Nothing can back that up, dude. There's no way that, especially a player like Ellie De La Cruz, one of the best athletes in the game, right? Phenomenal, but you're paying him for his athleticism, which will fade. Just like when you're finding a wife, like her, she's not going to be hot forever. You know, it's the same. We're playing the same game here. But with that being said, you're paying for athleticism.
We're playing the same game here.
The principles are the same, man. The principles are the same. They're long-term business decisions, man.
It's true.
And if you're paying for something that is fleeting, it's not going to be, it's not a logical decision at the end of the day. What do they have to give him? Like 15 years plus to have a $1 billion contract. He's going to remain at peak athleticism for the next 5 years if he doesn't get injured, right? He's a phenomenal player. We got guys like Soto. I love Soto. Don't get me wrong. Huge fan. Used to copy a swing and all shit like that, and went through down a rabbit hole with that. But at the end of the day, no player is really worth that, man. They're not, unless like Bobby said, unless you're bringing an entire nation behind you.
On the field, I think on the field, nobody's worth that. They're just not. Like, if you're telling me having one guy when you need all nine is going to be, this guy's going to be worth it. What's he going to do? Is he going to go walk off home run all through the playoffs? Is he going to, what happens if no one else hits? That guy is essentially worthless. It's like, Ohtani obviously brings in tons of money off the field. He brought in $120 million for the Dodgers last year by himself alone. And it's like, okay, you're paying him $70 million. That's insane. But you made $50 million more than you paid him. Yeah, good for you. You invested $70 million to walk away with $120 million. It's, what is Soto going to do? The Mets probably already sell out most of their games. I don't know. I'm sure they do well in sales. They're the Mets. But he's not going to draw more fans. They're already pretty much there. Was he going to sell jerseys? What else are you going to do? So you're paying him all that money really to just go hit. And it's like, that's great. But none of this would have ever happened without Ohtani. Ohtani makes sense. Judge signed for what he signed for. 400, three, what he signed for? 350, 400?
I'm looking it up.
Yeah.
The year before. Yeah. It's like Judge signed, then Ohtani signed, and then Soto. If Ohtani wasn't in the middle of that, Soto last year, Soto was like second in most hitting categories behind Judge. And Judge is a better fielder, and Judge has a better arm, and Judge doesn't need to run the bases. But it's like, I just don't, it makes, and Cohen's a 20 plus billionaire. It doesn't matter what he pays him. He doesn't care. And I'm the same way. I actually love Soto. I think if I were to tell anybody, go watch these at bats and this is how you want to be, I would say, go look at Soto. Absolute mind fuck for the pitcher. Taxes the shit out of him. Draws walks. Got power. All fields. Battles with two strikes. He does everything. He's the best. He's the best. And I'm all for these guys getting paid. I have no problem with it. But when you try to make sense of it, there is none. Yeah. There's none. 60 mil to go play. I saw this thing the other day. They said it was like Caitlin Clark's 4-year contract equals like literally a game for Soto. I'm like, God, dude, that is brutal. It's insane. See,
all I heard Jake say there was, I'm the same as this manager who makes $22 billion. So that's all I heard, bro. I didn't know you rolled like that, bro. That's crazy.
Yeah, I wish. But you know,
Aaron Judge with a 360 mil, by the way.
360. He made less. He made less than half of what Soto made, and I'm taking Judge on my team any day, either right along Soto or right there with him. I mean, Judge hit 60 bombs and hit what, 330 is something ridiculous. Judge is the best hitter in the game. Mm-hmm. Juan Soto's the best at bat. He's the best at bat in the game. Judge, I think, is the best hitter. We talk power, average, and then I'll take Bobby Witt Jr. over both of them.
Woo! I'm with you, bro.
Yeah, give me Bobby Witt, but
I just want Aaron Judge on my team so he can move an entire team during a fight. Like, just move the entire thing, just like
just a massive, massive human being. Well, shoot, man, I got it all out of my system. You guys got anything else you want to talk about here today?
Yeah, bro. What do you guys got on bunting to break up a no hitter?
Oh, yeah. We did just talk to Joe Musgrove a few days ago on his no hitter. I'm breaking that shit up with a bunt all day long. I don't give a shit. You don't like that, Bobby? You're a pitcher. You don't like that's dude. That's soft. That's soft. If I was a pitcher, I'd be like, bunt that shit. Give me an easy out. Thanks. You're like, fuck.
Bro, no.
I throw the ball to first.
It's not because I have to field my position. I have no problem fielding my position. It's the freaking, like, the lack of a sack from you guys. Like, you guys, why aren't you just freaking trying to beat me with your best self?
Dude, it takes more balls to be down 6-0 in the ninth with nobody on and nobody out and getting no hit to lay down a fucking bunt and everyone go, what a pansy, than it does to try to hit and go, oh, guess I grounded out and we got no hit. Give me that. Dude, I would love nothing more than to be in fucking Yankee Stadium getting no hit down by 8 runs in the ninth and have those people on their goddamn feet and lay a bunt down and stand on first and just go, fuck you guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you like that shit? Mm-hmm. We might lose 9-0, but we ain't getting no hit today. These dudes have egos, dude. They don't want to get hit. They don't want to get no hit. I'm laying that bunt down all day long.
Dude. Man. As a competitor, bro, I'm not giving you anything. I'm not making anything easy for you. If you can't field your position, it's a personal problem. I'm not letting any staff, any pitcher say they know hit us. They're not getting away with it that easily. I'm doing something about it. This is my pride on the line. I spent all this time playing baseball. I'm going to let some soft pitcher freaking no hit us, no hit me. Nah, fuck that, man.
Tell him, Jenks.
See, it's crazy coming from the guy who's chasing freaking 130 mile per hour exit velo dropping a bunt, though, bro. That's crazy, bro. That's crazy. No shot. One hit makes sense. No hit. That's crazy, bro. Like, it's two guys. It's David and Goliath going after each other, and freaking Goliath like wanting to throw a stone at David. Like, what's going on?
Go ahead, dude. You guess what? If he threw a stone at David, he wouldn't have got fucking drilled in the head with his own stone.
Yeah. Bingo.
So you're telling me I'm not gonna. Bunt because of some unwritten, people might look at it wrong. Not a chance, dude. Not a chance. I'm laying it down. Same thing I told my high school. There's times and places. Like, same thing I told my high school guys. The year we won CF, I said, listen, you guys are extremely good. You're very good. And you guys are trying to get scholarships. You're trying to boost stats. You're trying to do whatever you got to do. If we're up by 10 and that catcher can't throw somebody out, steal the base, steal second and third. Everyone's going to look at you like you're an idiot, and I'll be the asshole that told you to steal. I don't give a shit. Because at the end of the season, when you have an extra 9 bases, and I told him, I said, the reason I'm doing this is not to pad your stats. It's to teach you that you didn't work this fucking hard to take your foot off the gas because somebody else didn't. The team we're playing today didn't work as hard. They're not as good. So we're going to take the foot off the gas. And I only did it one season. I didn't do it a lot, but that team I knew was a championship team, and I wanted to build that culture. Like, we're not stopping until we have a trophy from the start. And that was a piece of it. Like, I didn't do that for my 7 years. There were certain teams that my teams were like, you guys are bad. So when we finally go up by somebody, we're not going to fucking act like we've never been there before and steal bases. Like, this was a culture idea. Like, from the start to the end of the season, we are going to put it on everybody as much as possible. I don't care. And mm-hmm. You know what? I'm not bases loaded up by 13 in the seventh inning, and my guy hits a double and I hold him at first and hold the runners. Now you got a one RBI single instead of 3 ribbies and a triple. I'm not doing that to your stats. You earned it. Go get it. So mm-hmm. I have no problem being that guy in baseball, if it makes sense. And to me, to not be in the friggin' history books as a team that got no hit makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Lay the bunch
down.
See, my thought is I'm all for stepping on throats and playing the game it's supposed to be played. And if you got a triple out of it, go get a freaking triple out of it. But to me, like, I feel like if I'm a college coach watching that dude in the seventh inning or in the ninth inning dropping a bunt, it's like, this guy just doesn't want to freaking play ball. Like, this guy wants to, this guy cares about the little things. Like, go freaking take your hacks and be a dog, but like, beat them with your best stuff. Don't like, I don't know. In my opinion, I just feel like it's borderline bush league, but more just like, you're scared to not beat them with your best version of yourself. It just kind of sends a message that you're soft.
I don't know, man. There's no rules in a fight, okay? You fight till the death, and you use all the tools you can. If you're getting no hit today, that day, that means your best tools ain't working. Don't keep using them. That's the definition of insanity. I'm going to pull out what I can to win. And that's, if that's a tool that I have, I'm using it.
But no one remembers the freaking 0-for-3 when your fourth swing is a freaking bomb to win a game. Like, that's just, in my opinion, like,
Nobody remembers the 0-for-3 when you were the 19th out let's say you're the 25th out in a no hitter, which is what, 27 mm-hmm. innings, 27 outs. Nobody remembers the fucking 25th rollover to shortstop, but they will remember that little fucker that drag bunted and got a hit. I'm going, that dude wants to, I don't know if he wants to win or not, but he's a fucking little gamer. He's not getting no hit. He just saved his whole team from being no hit. Sign me up for that guy. I'm the opposite. I'm like, yeah, I see somebody do that and I'm scouting the game. I'm like, give me that guy. We talk to him. I'm not talking for the 19th ground out of the game guy who's 0-for-3 with 2 Ks and a rollover. I'm not talking to that guy. I'm talking to the pitcher. Give me the bunt. So there you go, boys. If you are listening to this and you're a kid and you're playing baseball and you steal up by 12, don't tell them I told you to do that, because nobody will like it. I don't recommend it. And if you break up a bunt, a no hitter with a bunt, it's to go ahead and tell them me and Jenks told you to do it, but not Bobby.
Yeah, don't come to APU if you're going to be doing that crap.
I like it. Well, shoot. All right. That wraps us up today, I think. We don't have much left. We got a possible – you're going out of town, Bobby, taking off with the APU boys to Hawaii.
Yes, sir. We're going to be figuring out how to overcome adversity with all this rain going on, but – Hoping for some good baseball out there, man.
You've had a good test with adversity dealing with your microphone this whole
dude. Podcast. No joke. I'm ready to freaking punch this thing. I'm about to start a fight with it right now.
That's good. Season is good. What's the record? What's your guys' record?
We are over 500 right now. This I'm literally gonna throw this mic.
Over 500.
Yeah, we're over 500. We just came off of a sweep. We swept Vanguard. That was a funny subject. They actually bunted on us in the fifth inning to break up a no-hitter. So
that's
why I'm hot on the topic right now.
Sign me up for those guys.
Dude, our pitcher made such a good play, too. Barely beat it out.
Yeah, see? Yep. Look, they're all, you know what they probably did? They probably got on the bus and went, damn, we got swept, but at least we didn't get no hit. See? Thanks to that, dude. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. All right. We are wrapping it up. We will be back Friday, I'm sure. Bobby will figure out the schedule with you. But thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you on the next one.